Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Okay, we are on the air. You know, we've had some big guests in the last week. We had Jerry Conway on Wednesday, and we had Bill Oakley, former Simpsons showrunner, on Friday. But none are bigger than this.
Hey, you hear me?
Yes, recent hurricane victim.
Yes, recent hurricane victim Eric Posen is back to talk about Larry Hagman.
Yeah, so among other things, it's like, okay, I have to give it Eric here because otherwise things are going to get way too real too fast.
Yeah.
Eric, let me ask you also, in case our listeners don't know, Eric lives up in the northeast United States, which prior to the election became a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
More or less.
Now in Alabama, that's kind of the standard setting, but I think in the northeast that was a little jarring.
Yeah, we're not really prepared for that, especially since we had a storm the year before that everyone warned us about. That turned out to be nothing for this area, at least.
Okay, you think people in Florida are like, ooh, a class category one, or is it a category two? Ooh, do you think there's people like that?
Guess so.
Do you think there's people like, oh, that's it? it's like we deal with this every single year.
Okay, Eric, let me ask you, when did you realize that this hurricane was real? You know, I'm guessing there was a point kind of like, you remember Rocky One when Rocky knocks down Apollo Creed and Apollo Creed realizes that Rocky thinks it's real?
Yeah. I knew the hurricane was real.
Did you actually underestimate it yourself? It's like, okay.
Well, I guess we knew it was real, just that I didn't realize it would be, like, come in the house, the water, sewage water.
Like,
I knew, like, not to that extent.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because the same thing happened to us down here with the tornado, or me in particular, because the news down here, the local news stations, they love tornadoes. They hype them and hype them, and they would do these things where there'd be a tornado and nothing would happen. So I'm laying in my bed the afternoon the tornado hit, and my sister says, there's a tornado coming, Victor. What you going to do? I said, oh, there ain't no tornado coming. It ain't shit. All of a sudden, the power goes out. I'm like, huh, power will be back on in a few hours. I'll just sleep it off.
Yeah,
I wake up, it's dark. Yeah, and it's like, hey, where's the power at?
And also, I don't think they really gave us enough time to leave, especially when we're not used to that in the Northeast. They're like, day before, they're like, all right, now it's a mandatory evacuation. The problem is areas with as densely as this area is that's not another place you can go because, hey, oh, yeah, go my family. Oh, yeah, they all live here. Go your friends. Oh, yeah, they all live here also.
Well, I'm imagining that even if you were living a very Spartan lifestyle, it's very difficult to pack up in one day.
Yes.
You know, even if you're grabbing the bare essentials, it's very, and in my case, that would be Marvel Essentials, but it'd be very difficult to do that on, like, one day's notice.
Exactly. So.
All right.
I'm looking at the big story, but basically, yeah, everyone, I think when next comes to the storm, the whole town is leaving, obviously. But still, it sucks that for like for 48 hours, they had this, you know, there was, you know, no power, no phone, here at least all the cars were dead. So it's kind of like some Walking Dead thing about the zombie part, or people killing each other.
You know, that's what I did when the power went out here, and the crappy thing that night is that I didn't have a flashlight, I didn't have candles, so I didn't even have anything to read. At first, I was like, ah, screw it. I was watching wrestling on my portable DVD player. Then the power went out on, and I was like, okay, now it's my problem. And I took to walking up and down the streets that were abandoned, and I was doing it like I was somebody in, like, you know, Fist of the North Star. It was like, look at all these homes. They were once full of families and lights, but now darkness. And I came across a security place that still had lights because they had a generator. I said, oh, sure, there are some places that have power, the rich, wealthy, military elite. The hospitals were huddled masses gathered together because there was, like, barely light on in the hospital.
Yeah, the last night I walked, the next morning I walked around town, and obviously we couldn't go out that night, obviously. Because that's the thing, my town was unique, because one of the places hardest hidden, but yet there were no fatalities, because I think everyone was stubborn enough to stay still hunkered down inside. And I guess in some of the areas that weren't affected as bad, people might have actually gone out and, like, got killed by something. So...
Yeah, I remember I was very lucky in the fact that my power came back on quickly just because I live very close to a hospital.
Yeah, ours took a couple more hours after his. But it's not as bad as some of our local towns, where they had power out for about, some of them up for like 3 days. Some of them, I think even a few were out for an entire week. Just because
yeah,
that
like
one.
The people,
yeah, some houses over here were out for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and
the
here in
the
Northeast, it's like a possible.
The people in Huntsville are always very snooty toward Decatur because, you know, Huntsville has NASA. And I remember they were like, there was huge lines in Decatur because we got our power back on. And I said, oh, Huntsville people, Decatur's not so bad with our electricity and running water, is it?
Yeah.
And weekly Who concerts?
Yeah. About 2 weeks ago after Thanksgiving, Larry Hagman died.
Yeah, so I found out about it right as I was going home, right on the radio.
And, you know, and now the first, you know, it's kind of like my grandpa, because, you know, my grandpa was 98 when he died, or he's 91. And the thing is, I don't care because he's my grandpa. I want him to live 100 more years. That's how I feel about Larry Hagman.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I would gladly loan Larry Hagman 10 more years. Not like I'm going to do anything with him.
I know, but...
You know, and even this past year on the Return of Dallas, he was still great on it.
Yes, he's going to be hard to replace, even though we still got 6 episodes, I guess, with him.
I'm curious how they're going to handle it, because, you know, I think it'd be a nice touch if I would find it very appropriate if Sue Ellen started drinking again because of it, because I feel like it's going to be Sue Ellen that's going to be the most affected.
Yes. Sue Ellen, John Ross, Bobby.
Yeah, I think Bobby's going to lose it too. I feel like Ray's going to be upset, and Ray's going to come to the funeral, and JR's going to somehow find a way to be a dickhead to him from the grave.
Yes, I think they should... I know, they should probably... wait till the season finale or whatever to kill him off and have one big funeral where they get as much people to cameo as they can, even if it's just for one line or 1 second.
Now, I got a question when they do the funeral. When he shows up as a Force ghost, are they going to use young or old JR?
I believe old JR.
Well, good. They're not going to take Chris and him.
Well, you know, one thing we don't really talk about enough is how great Larry Hagman was on I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah, because I never really watched that show, but and after Dallas seems weird, him being, you know, playing a normal person. Well, kind of normal for I Dream of Jeannie. A normal astronaut with a genie for a pet, in his house.
Well, I tell you, the way he made it work, because I watched the show when I was a kid, and in any other scenario, you'd really hate Major Nelson, because it's like, you know, the handsome, rich astronaut has a beautiful woman that he could order to do anything, yet he doesn't want her. You know, that's a recipe to be hated, but he always played it in such a way that he felt so hairy that he came across as likable.
Now, what time did they used to show it on Nick at Night? I'm trying to remember.
They show it a lot. I remember it was in reruns for years, because I saw I Dream of Jeannie before I saw Dallas.
Was it after Bewitched? Because I think it was Mr. Ed, then Bewitched. And then I kind of went out because I generally went to bed. I generally was in bed by then.
Well, you know, funny bit of trivia about I Dream of Jeannie, Elizabeth Montgomery fucking despised I Dream of Jeannie. It was created by William Asher, Elizabeth Montgomery's husband, when they were having a brief separation. He created the show as, you know, I don't know if he did it out of spite, but he created the show, you know, as a ripoff of Bewitched, and he was going to keep working on it to bring in more money when they got back together, and Elizabeth Montgomery would have none of it.
Yeah, because I guess that show, they were kind of competing, and I guess Bewitched was the kind of really the slightly more feminist version of the two shows.
Yeah, well, you know, Bewitched, it's not so much, you know, it's like Bewitched. I always said the key between the two Darrens is the first Darren you feel bad for, the second Darren has it coming.
Yeah.
You know, the first Darren you feel bad for, he's just trying to live a normal life, you know, and in a way, you know, you kind of understand why he didn't want the witchcraft stuff, because, you know, she wasn't exactly upfront with him about it.
Yeah.
Actually, if you look at Major Nelson, you know, Major Nelson wasn't expecting her to wait on him hand and foot. He was like, you know, she was free to chill in the bottle or whatever. It wasn't like he was ordering her to do everything. In fact, he explicitly did not want her working for him. But, you know, I remember on the Eat Your Hollywood Story, one of them, Larry Hagman talked about one time he was drunk and he was flying over to the Screen Gem Studios. And someone else was flying the plane, and Larry Hagman said, I'll show them, I'm going to piss on them. He said, well, exactly what happened when you piss out of a plane happened.
Larry Hagman was very unique.
Yeah, he was very good at doing, like, he could do a pratfall better than anybody, or like, you know, a yelp. Like, there was this episode of Dallas, and we've talked about it before, when the first time Ray beat him up, when Ray grabs it, he's going, Ray, Ray, Ray! And nobody else could have done that right. Or nobody really could have played JR in a way, and I think if somebody else played JR, he would have either been an over-the-top soap opera villain, or he would have just been such a cruel asshole, you wouldn't be able to like him at all.
Yes. So do you think that he should be replaced by any other old Dallas cast member, or do you think that they should just go with the two they have and have guest appearances by other people?
That's a good question, because I'm trying to think of who they could replace that could kind of have a spot as a manipulating asshole, and I can't really think of anyone. I keep thinking they're eventually going to bring in a Knots Landing cast member, like one of the children from that show, grown up.
Yeah, I guess, but then they could also bring in, you know, Lucas or...
Yeah. I feel like Bobby's going to be devastated. Ray's going to be upset. And when Gary finds out, Gary's going to be like, yeah, fuck him.
Well, he might have some feelings. I think Valiant will be the one that will be like, oh, fuck him.
You know, I mean, I think Ray, because, you know, Ray actually liked JR. JR was the one who kept being a dickhead to Ray. I was very glad when they had the Ray leave the show that they had him and JR reminiscing about chasing pussy.
Yeah, the last 5 seconds, yes. And this is because Gary's, I think, is going to be in the most episodes as of any other guest star, so I'm wondering, without JR, what's he going to be doing?
You know, that's a good question. I think you could probably do something without JR, because Gary's kind of a wild card, because from what I've seen on Knots Landing, he was really a fuck up.
Yeah, I guess so.
I found it funny that Jock was actually very wise not to give Gary all his money at once.
That's one thing. That's Knots Landing. Never really. I may sell that Joan Poole. I mean, I've actually read enough over the years of the main popular characters, but I never really saw an actual episode of the show.
I thought about trying to grab the first season DVD, but then I know there are no other seasons on DVD, so I don't really want to get into it.
Yeah, and even though the show, I think, was probably didn't get some of its more well-known characters to, like, the fourth or fifth season anyway, which is kind of weird, like, some shows are like that.
Yeah, I remember there was one. I've been trying to find JR's guest appearances on YouTube, and I can't find them, you know, because...
I actually saw the Knots Landing reunion when it was TV movie reunion when it was originally on in, like, 95, 96.
Yeah.
And it's weird because that was the first time I realized that, that was the same time I was watching Dallas and TNN. That was the first time I realized that Derry and Val were characters, not Flanagan. I had, like, no idea before that. I was aware that Not Flanagan was a show that they joked about in Married with Children. And and
yeah.
I knew that Derry was his character would show up in Dallas and leave and can, you know, and then leave a couple episodes later, and I'm wondering what the deal was with him. But I didn't realize he was actually one of the stars of another show. I didn't put those two together.
Yeah, I was surprised, you know, it was like, I remember I was seeing that oral history on Dallas, and the main thing I got from the Dolph Landing bits is that Val's mom was a huge dickhead.
That who was?
Val's mom. And it's funny, because you have to reconcile... Yeah, you have to reconcile this with the Dallas history, and really, JR comes across as being correct for not wanting Lucy raised by Val's family.
Maybe.
You know, when you hear everything, it's just one of those things I don't really think about when they're doing the history later. So when you hear about it, it's like, I guess JR is correct. It's funny, because they had those episodes when JR came, because in the early episodes, JR would try to be nice to Lucy. And he was also seen to be correct, like when he didn't want Lucy to have a car. And, you know, with the 5 episodes of her having a car, she got addicted to drugs.
He definitely needs Charlene Tilton in the funeral episode. Well, I think she's going to be there. I think the people who are going to appear definitely in season 2 from the past are, you know, Cliff, Gary, Val, Lucy, and Afton.
Yeah, I wonder if they're actually going to have... See, I'm trying to think of how it would be appropriate for Lucy to come to the funeral, because you get the feeling Lucy wouldn't know how to shut up, and then Bobby's going to punch her in the mouth. My favorite bit is...
I think she'll behave at the funeral.
Yeah,
maybe we'll learn at least one thing about her.
Yeah, I like when he got... when you know when JR got shot for the last time on the show?
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And Sue Ellie came into the South Fork, and she was expecting to be welcomed, and Miss Ellie's like, you shot my son! Get the fuck out of here!
So that was Bobby.
No, she did with Miss Ellie, too. Then she tried to go talk to Bobby. Bobby's like, what the hell? You shot him! Get out of here!
Yeah, Miss Ellie came back a couple weeks later.
Yeah, it was one or the other. It's like they both did it, and Sue Ellen acted shocked that they would care that she shot their brother's son. You know? It's like, I don't want him to be shot.
Yeah, you still have 2 seasons to see, right?
I need to watch 13 and 14, and the 12 was so rough, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
If I see people on DVD, I might be able to marathon them, but those seasons are so rough, I can't watch them on the laptop. And that's nothing new.
I mean, the last seasons are definitely worse than the other seasons, but still they have some unique, wacky storylines, the whole season, Clayton and Ellie are like some Murder, She Wrote mystery team for some reason. I don't know why.
They didn't know what else to do with it. Like, they did that amnesia storyline with Clayton that went nowhere.
Yeah. Remember when he lost his memory for no reason?
Yeah, he got hit by a horse, then he got hit by another horse. He's like, oh, wait, I have my memory now.
I think he had an odd number of items.
Yeah. You saw the season finale. Did you see the season finale of season 12?
Let me see. What was the? Oh yeah, that was when Sue Ellen made that. When Sue Ellen made that fucking movie.
Yes, is that where they had the storyline start where Michelle gets mailed the key or something?
Yeah.
And she goes, "How strange." And I remember that was like a meme on the Usenet Dallas group back in like 1997.
Yeah, they found a key, and they're excited to go hunt for it. And at this point, Larry Hagman was still great on the show. I mean, him and Patrick Duffy and Ken Kerchevel, they were carrying the show. I mean, almost single-handedly.
Yes, and I think in the last 2 seasons, George Kennedy starts really yelling at his Carter McKay. I don't think, not so much in his first season, I don't think, but in the last 2 seasons, he just I think you can look it up on YouTube. I think Carter McKay, he just starts yelling a lot of time, and his face looks red, and he's like, don't give me that crap.
Man, one of my favorite bits on the show is when Bobby beats the shit out of Tommy, Carter's son, and at one point, Tommy flips over a staircase and tries to do a karate kick.
Don't trust anyone named Tommy on Dallas.
This season of Dallas, the only thing I can say about the current season of Dallas is that the episodes don't tend to have a lot of rewatchability. Because I never really can't find myself watching the replays they would do on Saturday morning or something.
Why is that?
I don't know. You know, the problem with it is sometimes is that it would be, I think it was one episode, it was too focused on Christopher and that girl, that on his cousin, Rebecca.
Yes.
And I'm still waiting for how they explain this with Cliff. You could probably shift Cliff into JR's role.
I don't know enough if they want to make Cliff a full-time character.
Well, the problem is they kind of back themselves in the corner with Cliff, because now Cliff seems like a full-on supervillain.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to see that and then go back to old Dallas Cliff, even at his most evil,
his
most villainous level.
Yep. I think one of my favorite clips is right after Pam dies, and he's like, fuck it, he doesn't give a shit anymore.
Well,
he's just kind of walking around.
You know, well, Pam doesn't die, she goes, whatever happens to Pam.
Yeah, when she got deep fried.
Yes. Yep.
Or whatever.
They don't know the deal with that new show, because they say that, you know, they're like, well, Pam disappeared, or they don't know the deal with that.
I think that's the way they put it was, that they kind of said, you know, when your mom ran out on you. I think they just put it that Pam abandoned Christopher and Bobby.
Still really
Which
awkward. It's an awkward storyline to figure out, if they just said Pam died in the show, it would be different, but still there's this, like, hidden question, like, maybe Pam did die because she had a disease, but they don't know that, so they just think Pam left, and it's kind of weird in the pilot where Ray's like, I'm thinking about Barnes and Ewing don't get along, and Ray's like, what about you and Pam? And if that really happened with Pam banning them, that she would be like a really sensitive issue to talk about. It's kind of strange.
I guess it's kind of hard to say because you never know what would have happened in the absence of all those years. Probably the easier way might have been in somewhere at the halfway point that Pam actually did contact them again. But it's like that's probably the biggest fuck you, Roddy Goff of somebody I've ever seen on a show.
It's like, I know, that's probably the worst part of Dallas, the Pam leaving and all the trouble it caused. I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess they just didn't want Pam to die because he was too close to Bobby dying and people wouldn't believe it or whatever. And then they can't just have Pam leave all of a sudden because it would seem strange if they just didn't share the sudden at all.
I think they were very gun-shy about killing off characters again at that point. Because they
at
kind of broke the trust of the audience.
At least they have someone shoot Miceli and Bobby makes a deal with the devil that Bobby and Pam were never married.
Well, actually, I have...
Dallas, one more day.
Yeah.
No, I actually have a theory about the dream season of Dallas, and this is why I fully believe it. I don't care what anyone says. Okay, the dream season actually happened, but when Pam went to Columbia for that emerald mine, she was actually going to find some type of sorcerer. This person was willing to bring Bobby back to life and make it so he was never dead, but at a great cost. And the cost ended up being that it wrecked a lot of lives, including it cost Pam her beauty.
Yes, and Jamie Ewing had to die twice.
Right, everybody, some things had to happen and were destined to happen, but Pam altered the timeline of Columbia. And here's the thing about it, now you're probably saying, Oh, Victor, you're so handsome and crazy. But hold on. Pam was kidnapped. They never show who kidnapped her exactly.
Random Colombian who kidnapped people,
right.
I guess.
We never see what happened while she was kidnapped. At all. And Pam never talks about it. She just immediately leaves the country. Most likely thinking that her mission had failed and that it was just a fluke. You know, that it was just something that she was just ripped off, not realizing that it was already thrown into that events were already in motion to change the timeline.
That would be interesting fan fiction.
Yes, I believe this would be fully true. This would also explain Knot's Landing.
Yes, how that happened. They're still up in this. They weren't affected.
Right.
So the whole universe wasn't affected, just the Ewings of Dallas.
And basically, in Knot's Landing, basically Gary remembered that Bobby wasn't dead, but he still named his kid after him because, you know, Bobby was one of his closest relatives. And I think they stopped talking about the death anyway, so it works out.
Yes. Yeah. Did you just recon it that when every time Gary talked about Bobby being dead, he was just drunk and confused.
Bobby, he's just dead and confused. When he was drunk, he was just, you know, confused. That's how everybody else remembers it now.
And everyone just went along with him during that time to humor him.
Yeah, they just kind of went along with
Gary,
it.
Gary, your brother's dead.
They felt like it was better for his therapy because they said if they told him the truth, it might make him snap. I'm telling you, Time Warner, give me the book. Give me the power, and I will create things you never imagined.
So, do you think they should have JR die quietly or at his age, or do you think he should die in a plane crash in South America?
I'm guessing they'll probably just have him die in his sleep.
Yeah, probably. Not a jock thing. So, I guess.
I'm wondering how they're going to have John Ross finish it up. Here's my question. Do you think JR left a letter in his will telling John Ross to try to get along with the family, or is he giving him a plan to do Scorched Earth?
Maybe they'll do some last-minute shenanigans when JR's off-screen that he somehow buys everything. He somehow gets Ewing Oil or whatever, or South Fork. So his will becomes a big deal somehow.
He was somehow made a major play, and somehow his death was a part of it.
Like, somehow, off-camera, they realize that JR somehow bought everything, and then they're mad at him, Bobby, and Christopher, and then the next episode, they hear that JR is back home, wherever he was, and Bobby goes to meet with him, to fight with him, and then he sees he dies. He died in his study or whatever.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it. If JR dies, that means that John Rawls gets the mineral rights to South Fork.
Yes.
So, you think they'll bring in Sasha Mitchell for the funeral?
What is that?
Do you think they'll bring in Sasha Mitchell, the one that played his other son, James? Do you think they'll bring him in?
Probably not, but he's probably mentioned. I mean, I guess they can say that they didn't have that much of a close relationship after the 2 years he was on the show, and that was a long time ago. But I don't know if they'll bring him in, but he'll probably be mentioned.
Yeah, they'll probably just have him mention the fact that he didn't want to show up to the funeral.
But he sends his regards.
Something like that. And also, JR's other son, the baby. Because how old will that kid be now? That kid be 19. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but no one knows.
That kid be like 20 now.
Yeah, but I don't know if anyone knows that son exists. Except for JR.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they do.
I guess Callie made a cameo since she's the neighbor of the person making Cynthia Cedre, heading the show. So maybe she can make a 3-second cameo at the funeral. Hi, Callie. Hi, Callie.
I'm thinking they might do that. I don't know what shows we have scheduled for later. I'm going to try to put something together right now, but I'm kind of busy with Christmas. And I got a few requests to work on some things for people. We'll see you next time. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Victor.
And, all right, hope you don't run into any more natural disasters. All right, and Neil, you get back to drawing.
All right.
And we are out of here.